us afresh tonight.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need, you got. There's honey in the rock. Praying for a miracle, thirsty for the living word. Sweetness at the mercy seat, and I've tasted, it's not hard to see, only you can satisfy. There's honey in the rock, there's honey in the rock, there's honey in the rock.
Freedom with a spirit bound me.
Happy Palm Sunday, Ascend Church. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. His name is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundations of the world. We give him praise. We give him honor. We give him glory. And we thank him for the glorious day we get to walk into. Out of the darkness, into his marvelous light. We worship him. We praise him. Come on.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, yeah. Out of the darkness into your glorious day, yeah. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old me knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, hey, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Come on. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
That's right, that's right. Break it down right here.
I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Woo! Out of the darkness to your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Hey. Woo! Out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. Come on and give them worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And he'll return victorious as a lion. We worship you, Lord. in every way that you have revealed yourself. Here we go. God of Jacob, great I am. King of angels, Son of man. Voice of many waters, song of heaven's throne. Louder than the thunder, make your glory known.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar.
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 Roar. Pride of Zion, prophet spoke, I'm Messiah, flesh and bone.
You alone are worthy to open up the scroll. Like a lamb you suffer,
but the lion has arose.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, let the lion roar.
Roar. The lion roar.
Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare
the valley.
Be raised up, O mountain, be made low, O valley. Be raised up, O mountain, be made low.
Hail, hail,
Lion of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
Let the lion roar.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar.
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 Roar. Roar. O valley,
be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low.
O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. O valley, be raised up. O mountain, be made low. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, for you alone are worthy, God. Worthy of all our praise, God.
Praise. Hallelujah. For the beginning point and the end point is the same, says the Lord. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the end, the Word is with God, and He is God, and He is exalted among the nations. So in the beginning and in the end, it's all the same. It's the journey that I took, says the Lord. It's the journey that I took in between those two points that applies to you. Because from the point where I left the presence of the Father, I began a journey that was a pathway to your salvation. It was a pathway to your redemption. It was done not for me. It was done not for the Father. It was done purely for you. Everything I did and every step I took was on your behalf. Every victory I won, every miracle I worked, every sign and wonder was for you, says the Lord. Every one of them was to display to you my greatness. Every one of them was to display to you that I am God and I can be trusted. Every one of these was to make a pathway for Gentiles and Jews to come to me, says the Lord. Every one of the steps that I took were on a path to your eternal redemption. And if you walk these steps with me, says the Lord, and if you walk these steps believing in what I've done for you, there's a place for you that is reserved in the heavenly realm. There's a place for you in eternity that is right by my side. There's a place that I've prepared for you, says the Lord. And it all depends what you do with what I did in the short walk on earth. In the short walk on earth determines your entire eternity. So bow your knee, says the Lord. Those that have resisted, those that have held back, those that have had reservations, bow your knee, says the Lord, before eternity comes. Because once you reach that point, none of this matters. You reach that point and you can't go back to this point. You have to come to this point and look back and say, what I did with this part is what determines what happens in eternity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus, for the plan. Thank you, Father, for the plan from the foundation of the earth for our redemption, for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, that as you came, you brought the Holy Spirit. You left the Holy Spirit with us. You said it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I'll leave the Holy Spirit with you. And the Holy Spirit is with you on this journey, says the Lord, until you step into eternity. The Holy Spirit is my presence that walks with you along the pathway of your life. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals me to you. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens your spiritual eyes and deals with your inmost heart and tells you what it is that I've done for you. Don't resist. Don't hold back. Give yourself wholeheartedly, says the Lord. Give yourself wholeheartedly. Let me do in you in the short span, in the short pathway of your life, let me do in you what only I can do, which is immeasurably more than what you could even imagine. Which is immeasurably more than what you could even imagine. Yield yourself to me, says the Lord, and watch what I can do in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you receive that, just say, thank you, Lord. I take that for me. I receive that for me. Amen. Praise God. How good is it to be in the house of the Lord? Wonderful to see you this morning, this Palm Sunday morning. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them how glad you are they're in church, and you may be seated. wonderful. Praise God. Well, welcome. Welcome to Ascend Church. What a beautiful time of worship. Thank you to our worship team. Give them a round of applause. They don't do it for man's applause, but I'm so grateful for them. They truly worship God with us. They lead us. You know, the Bible says that one of the kings, I forget which one, but he said, I need a word from the Lord. And the prophet said, bring me the minstrel and let him play. And as soon as the minstrel began to play, the word of the Lord came to him. And so that's what we do. We come into the presence of God with our worship. Amen. I want to welcome those that are watching online. Welcome to Ascend Church. Thank you for joining us. People watch on Ascend Church Jupiter on YouTube. I go back and watch that and share that in the week numerous times. But people watch on Facebook Live. Let us know where you're watching from. Give us a little praise hands or thumbs up or let us know where you're watching from. We're glad that you joined us. And go ahead and share the live stream. If you're sitting here and you have Facebook, share that live stream. It reaches people that maybe cannot get to this church. Who knows where they are in the world, but you never know how God will minister to them. Amen. I had two people this week that had serious health crises, and I sent them the message on the God of miracles, signs, and wonders, because I was like, you need your faith strengthened, and this will do it. And so it's a good resource. So thank you for watching us online. And welcome to each and every one of you. Want to welcome those who are here for the first time. If you've never been to a service at our church, I'm the pastor's wife. I'm Jill Barry. And we want to welcome you. So if you're here for the first time, we're going to just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. Just let us know. Anyone here for the first time today? Anybody? No. Congratulations, Nick and Deanne's daughter got married. Ray and Tammy's son got married. That all happened this last week. Weddings are wonderful, aren't they? Praise God. Well, just to let you know that we will pass a clipboard by if you just let us know that you hear any changes to your email or phone number. We'd appreciate you telling us. Pastor Stefan's had a great help pastorally, so thank you for doing that. And we have different ways of staying in touch. If you don't get our church text, if there's anybody who doesn't get our church text, text the word ASCEND to 561-745-5404. Make sure you get that weekly text. We have things that come up, and you don't want to miss that. So please do that. If you don't have our app, download it. There should be a barcode right where you are. Just scan that and you'll be able to download it. It has all kinds of resources. And I just want to remind you that you can watch on our app. You can watch on YouTube. You can watch on Facebook. And you can watch on our website, which is ascendchurchjupiter.us. So that's all the business side of things. Amen. And to remind you of the four main purposes of our church, the first one is that you would know God. We're coming to know him. You know, you may have been through 20, 30, 40 Easters in church, but I feel like today we're going to get something more out of the Easter, beginning this Easter week. Amen. We're continually growing in our knowledge of God. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, make a difference with your life. Amen. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give into the house of God. And there's various ways you can give. And the way we always do it is I like to read a passage of Scripture. Whoever's receiving the offering, we like to read a passage of Scripture because you are giving to the Lord. You need to know what the Word says about giving to the Lord, right? And I was reading a passage that I'm going to read you a few verses today, but I was reading a passage and I was so moved. You know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. God moved over a multitude, found this young boy out there tending the sheep. And you know what attracted God to him was the heart. He wasn't out there just thinking about, God, make me king one day. He was out there just worshiping God. He had such a heart after God. And he wrote this concerning giving. And I want to read you some verses before we give. And it's in 1 Chronicles 29. I'm going to skip over a few verses. So if you want to read it yourself at home, go ahead and do it. But it says, then David turned to the whole assembly. And he said, my son Solomon, who God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals, it is for the Lord himself. Verse 2, using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for building the temple of my God. Now there is enough gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood, as well as great quantities of onyx, other precious stones, costly jewels, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. And verse 3, and now because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I am giving all of my private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This in addition to the building materials I have already collected for his holy temple. And I won't read the next verses because he goes on and he lists. I mean, it's staggering what he gave. But he says he gave all his personal treasures of gold and silver. Verse 5, it says, now then, David said, who will follow my example and give offerings to the Lord today? Then the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals and the captains of the army and the king's administrative officers all gave willingly. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and David was filled with joy. Then David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. I love that David, he was king, but he didn't have pride at all. He was just, he danced through the streets when he praised God. Amen. So he says he praised God in the presence of the whole assembly. He said, O Lord, the God of our ancestor Israel, may you be praised forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. Okay. Sorry the scripture's not coming up, seeing as I'm reading so many. But there's only a couple more verses to go. Go and read it in 1 Chronicles 29. I've got two verses to go. O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. So I'll abbreviate it. There's more that he goes on. But you know what stands out to me in this offering is their devotion. He said, because of my devotion to you. What stands out to me is their joy. There was a joy and a willingness. David had, but not just him. It says the people had a joy and a willingness in giving. You know, sometimes people think giving, don't talk about offerings. Why? Everything we have comes from him. Amen. And David said, this short time on the earth, it's my honor to give to the Lord. Amen. And so when we recognize that, I love that. It reflected their devotion. It reflected their thankfulness. How thankful are we at Easter? How thankful are we for our salvation? And we are privileged to be able to share in building God's house, just like they were. Even though this is a temporary situation, we're on to a heavenly home. We have the opportunity to give into what God is doing in the earth today. Let's do it with a willing heart. Let's do it because we're thankful. Let's do it because it reflects the devotion that we have to the Lord. Amen. So as we prepare to give, there are envelopes right in the seat by you. There are various ways to give, secure ways to give that will come up on the screen. And there's also a Zelle option, which you just use our church email address. So thank you for your faithfulness. We're so thankful to each and every faithful tither, those that are watching online, faithful tithers, faithful givers. We appreciate what you do for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So get ready to give. Ushers, you can go ahead and pat. Should I pray before? Got lots of instructions. Father, we pray. We thank you so much for giving us the privilege of being part of your family on the earth. Father, we are on a mission. That's our statement for this year. We are on a mission. And we're on a mission to build your kingdom. So we thank you, Father, for each and every person in this house and watching online that gives into your kingdom. We do it out of our devotion. We do it out of our thankful, grateful, joyful hearts, Father. And I thank you, Father, that your word contains the promise that when we take care of your house, you take care of our house. I thank you for blessing each and every giver in this place today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You can go ahead. Thank you. Oh, I'll mention it now. We've got in May, there's a Mother's Day weekend, which falls on Mother's Day is on the 14th. So on Saturday the 13th, we're going to have a ladies' brunch. And we've been planning. It's going to be phenomenal. But I want to let you know that seating is limited. So we have clipboards out the back. Deanne's going to be there after the service. And if you go ahead, please make sure you reserve your seat, because there are going to be people that are disappointed if they don't get in quick enough. It's going to be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, May the 13th. We are taking a reservation fee of $10 that just secures your seat so somebody else doesn't take it. And consider getting one for a friend. Think of somebody that would like encouragement on Mother's Day weekend, or a friend that you haven't been able to bring to a regular service, but you could get her to a brunch. Do that. And so thank you for joining us for that ladies' brunch on the 13th of May.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Do you know what today is? Someone asked me, why we got all the palm branches? Because today is Palm Sunday. What does that mean? Today is the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem for the final time. And as he entered Jerusalem, they laid palm branches down in the streets. And they shouted out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And I just thought it would be good today, appropriate. This is such an awesome week that we're entering into right now. In fact, the longer I live and the longer I know the Lord and the more I study the Word of God, the more amazed I am at just how incredible our salvation is. So I want you to get ready, Dolores. I want you to stand up with me. I want you to get those palm branches. And I want us to, let's do Lion of Judah. I want you to wave those branches. Hold on, stand up with me. Take a branch, wave it around, wave it around. Hail to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's
hail,
worship
hail
him.
Lion of
we
Judah.
Worship him. Just wave those palm branches.
Let the lion roar.
Just wave those palm branches.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
Lion of Judah. Hail to the Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of
yes.
Judah.
We worship you.
Let the
we
lion roar. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
We praise you, Lord. We
let the lion
you.
Roar.
Hosanna.
Hail, hail,
blessed
Lion of Judah.
Comes in the name of the Lord.
Let the lion you roar. Hail,
Your
hail, Lion of Judah.
We
let the lion
praise.
Roar.
Hail, hail,
hail, hail, hail Lion of Judah. Let the lion roar. Roar. Roar.
Yes, hail, Lion of Judah.
Roar.
Praise you, we magnify you, Lord.
Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way.
prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way, prepare the way. Of Judah, let the lion roar. Hail, hail, lion of Judah.
Hail, lion of Judah.
Let the lion roar.
We worship you, Lord.
Hail, hail,
we
lion of Judah.
We praise
let
you.
The lion
we magnify
roar.
You.
Roar.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Put that branch down and give the Lord a big hand of praise today. Give him a shout today. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. We glorify you. You are worthy. You are mighty. You are holy. We exalt you. Lord, we do magnify you today. We're so thankful. We're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you came to the earth, that you laid your life down, that you suffered in our place, that you took our sin, death, and judgment, that you rose from the dead triumphant and victorious. Lord, we rejoice today and we give you praise on this Palm Sunday. And Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing removes burdens from people, that your anointing destroys yokes in people's lives. We thank you, Lord, for freedom today. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you, Lord, for freedom and liberty. And we give you praise today. And I thank you, Father, today, that you anoint your word as I speak your word. Thank you, Lord, that you help me, that you use me. And I give you the praise for everything said, for everything done. In Jesus' name, if you agree, shout out amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Turn to someone, tell them, Hosanna. That's what they shouted out, Hosanna. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Do you know what Hosanna means? The word Hosanna, it means save now. That's what it means, literally, save now. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad you're here this morning. I'm going to welcome Ralph and Anita, who are watching online from Ohio today. They watch service. In fact, Lynn, it's your brother. And you shared last Sunday's video, the sermon. You shared it with them, I think, right? The live stream. And they watched it, and then they watched it, I think, a second time. And then you asked if we could do a phone call, and we did a phone call with them on Monday. I had a wonderful conversation, like we were old friends. And so we're so glad, Ralph and Anita, you're watching today. And I want you to know we believe in God for miracles in your life. In fact, everybody who's watching today, I'm believing God's going to touch you. I'm believing God's doing miracles in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. On Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter Resurrection. Of course, this Friday is Good Friday. We're having our Good Friday service. But Palm Sunday marks the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. And I want to speak to you about Jesus' final week, because this would be the final week of his life on the earth. Sunday, he enters into Jerusalem. They lay down the palm branches. We're going to read it in a moment. Do you know that the final week of Jesus' life is captured in 28 chapters of the four Gospels? The four Gospels contain 89 chapters. Jesus' entire 42-month ministry, 3.5 years, is captured in 168 weeks. It's captured in the first 61 chapters. And think about it. There's 28 chapters just dealing with the final week of Jesus' life. That's how important it is. It's almost a third of the Gospels. We know more about his last week than any other week in the Bible. Palm Sunday was the kickoff to the greatest week in the history of the universe. I heard a preacher say, since creation. Can I tell you that Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is even a greater event than the creation of the world? There are 920 chapters around there in the Old Testament. 929, I believe. There are 260 chapters in the New Testament, a total of almost 1,200 chapters in the Bible. Creation is covered in the first chapter. One chapter for creation. The creation of man, Adam and Eve, is captured in Genesis 2. That's two chapters. And yet, there are 1,190 chapters that talk about God's salvation plan. That's why I'm telling you that Jesus' resurrection is even a greater event than the creation of the world. The Apostle John was the last to write his gospel. The other three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, were written about 30 years before John wrote his gospel. So when we look at Palm Sunday in John chapter 12, it's the final picture that God inspired John to write of that final week in Jesus' life. In John chapter 12, in verse 12, it says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him. And they cried out, Hosanna, which means save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. You see, they really were looking for the Messiah who would set up his kingdom on the earth, who would deliver them from Roman tyranny. That's what they were looking for. But that is not what Jesus came for. Now, Jesus coming back, he's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. But Jesus came to deliver us from sin and death and to set up his eternal kingdom. And so that's why we call this Palm Sunday. It's amazing to me that just 4 years, 4 days later, the same people that were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, same people would be crying, crucify him, crucify him. We will have no other king but Caesar. In verse 14, then Jesus, when he found a young donkey, he sat on it. And as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now, Jesus enters Jerusalem, revealing his kingship. He enters Jerusalem exactly as the prophet Zechariah said he would 520 years before. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, he prophesied, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, you know, there are over 300, in fact, I read that there's 456 references to Jesus coming in the Old Testament. At a minimum, I haven't studied out all 456, but at a minimum, there's at least over 300 prophecies that refer to the coming Messiah. Do you know that just in the final 24 hours of Jesus' life, Jesus fulfilled 33 prophecies in his last 24 hours? Now, just to let you know how incredible that is, a man by the name of Peter Stoner, who is the chairman, or was the chairman, of the departments of mathematics and astronomy at Pasadena College, he and 600 of his students looked at 8 specific prophecies about Jesus, and they concluded that the prospect that any one person could fulfill 8 prophecies was 1 in 10 to the 17th power. So the chances are 1 in 10 to the 17th power. Put that up for me just to give you an idea. That's how much it is. I calculated it. I lost track when I got to 100 trillion. So it's more than 100 trillion. The chances of one person fulfilling 8 prophecies is more than 100 trillion. In other words, it's impossible. It just cannot happen. Are you still with me? To illustrate to you just how unlikely that is, 1 chance in 10 is if you took 10 $1 bills, not $1 bills, $1 coins. Have you ever seen a $1 coin? If you took 10 $1 coins and you marked an X on one of them and you put them in a hat and then you blindfolded somebody and you asked them to pick one of the coins and they happened to pick that coin with the X on it the first time, there's a 1 in 10 chance. Now, 1 in 10 to the 17th power would be if you covered the state of Texas in silver dollar bills, coins, silver dollar coins that are 2 feet high, and you took one of those coins over the entire state of Texas and you marked one coin, and then you asked someone who was blindfolded to walk as far as they want, but they can only pick up one coin. And it just so happens that the first coin they picked up was the one with the X on it. Those are the same odds of someone fulfilling 8 prophecies. I want to take a little bit of a side journey, if you don't mind, because to me, this is just amazing to me. I want to share with you some of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. I'm not going to go through all 300. We'd be here for days. But I'm going to give you some of the, I'm going to give you 20. Are you ready? Are you ready for this? The prophecy Jesus fulfilled, the Messiah would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 7 verse 14, written 740 years before Christ. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That was fulfilled in Matthew 1 verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Second prophecy, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied by Micah 800 years before Christ. It says, but you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who will be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Matthew 2 verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Number 3, the Messiah will end up in Egypt. That was prophesied by Hosea between 760 and 720 years before Christ. He said in Hosea 11, verse 1, out of Egypt I called my son. Matthew 2, verse 14, now when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed for Egypt, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I've called my son. Number four, the Messiah will be preceded by a messenger. Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. That was fulfilled in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance and the remission of sins. Number five, the Messiah's ministry would begin in Galilee. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in the Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. Well, Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 says, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea, returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then he left there and he moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zephelon and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah, in the land of Zephelon and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Number six, the Messiah would teach in parables. Psalm 78, verse 1, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Matthew 13, verse 34, these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, these things were prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus showed up on the earth. You know, I've got a gentleman where we live in our condo. We live in a condominium. And he's Jewish, and he's very dedicated. And we've just been having these conversations. It is astounding to me that any Jewish person doesn't know these prophecies, or they can see them and not connect that Jesus is the Messiah. I mean, it's just impossible to read all these prophecies. Here's another one. Give me the next one. What is it? Number seven, the Messiah will be anointed to set the captives free. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. Do you know that Jesus was a churchgoer? It was his custom to go to church. If Jesus needed to go to church, you and me need to go to church. It says, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were on him, and he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. The Messiah will have a miraculous ministry. That's the eighth prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 35, it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the eyes of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall, what did I say? The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. Well, Matthew chapter 11, go back for me, Matthew 11, it says, when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and he said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to him, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Number nine, the Messiah will be betrayed by a close friend. Psalm 41. Verse 9, even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. John chapter 13, verse 18, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, and that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who breaks bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. And when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Well, who was he talking about? Judas of Iscariot. Isn't that right? Then, number 9. But 10, the Messiah will be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah chapter 11. I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them in the house of the Lord for the potter. Matthew 27. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful, brought back the 30 pieces of silver and to the chief priests and the elders and said, I've sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them in the treasury because they're the price of blood. Ain't that the truth? And they consoled it together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, the field has been called the field of blood to this day. That this was then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was pierced, who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. Number 11, the Messiah will be silent before his accusers. Isaiah 53 verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Well, we know that's true. Matthew 27 verse 12 says, while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, do you hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered not one word, and the governor marveled greatly. You know why he couldn't answer one word? Because if Jesus had defended himself, they would have never been able to crucify him. He had to keep quiet and lay his life down and let them lie about him. Number 12, the Messiah will be scorned and ridiculed. Psalm 22, verse 7, all those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he's trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Matthew 27, 42, it was fulfilled. They said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Number 13, the Messiah will be beaten and mocked and spit upon. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to those who struck me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. Matthew 27, verse 25 says, when they had scourged Jesus, which means they whipped him with a cat of nine tails, we call it, they delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him, and when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him and said, hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him, they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. Number 14, the Messiah's hands and feet will be pierced. In Psalm 22, verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now listen, David wrote that 900 years before Christ. They had not even invented crucifixion. Think about that. David prophesied, they pierced my hands and my feet. They hadn't even started crucifying. The Romans came up with that. I'm going to give you the scripture that fulfills it after this next one, because I'm going to read one scripture that fulfills both. The Messiah will have no bones broken. Psalm 34:20. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Now, both of those were fulfilled in John chapter 19, verse 31. It says, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other one crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. They did not break his legs. And so it says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he was seen as testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that what he is telling the truth, so you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And another that says, they shall look on him on whom they have pierced. I don't know about you, but this is just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me. That this God that we serve, man, he planned this redemption of ours thousands of years in the making. They will cast lots for the Messiah's clothing. Psalm 22, verse 18. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. That was fulfilled in John 19, 23. It says, then the soldiers, when they crucified Jesus, they took his garments and they made four parts, to which each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now, the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Just to let you know, Jesus dressed good. I don't know if you knew that, but Jesus dressed good. He wore a garment that was worn by kings and rich merchants. It was without seam. That's why the soldiers were gambling. They wanted his garments. Number 17, the Messiah's thirst will be quenched with vinegar and gall. In Psalm 69, verse 21, they gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That was fulfilled in Matthew 27. They gave him sour wine mixed with gall to drink, but when he tasted it, he would not drink. Number 18, the sun will go down at noon when the Messiah dies. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. This is written in between 788 and 747 years before Christ. Amos said in Amos 8, verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in daylight. Did that happen? Yes, Matthew 27, 45. Now from the sixth hour, which is 12 o'clock in the afternoon is the sixth hour, until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness over all the land. When Jesus died on that cross, it went dark. Completely dark. Between 12 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Number 19, the Messiah will cry out, into your hands I commit my spirit. Psalm 31, verse 5, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in Luke 23, 46, when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Number 20, the Messiah would be forsaken by God. Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, David wrote that. Why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27, 46, about the ninth hour, he cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Number 21, Jesus, the Messiah, would be buried in a rich man's grave. Isaiah 53, verse 9, he was buried like a criminal, but in a rich man's grave, but he had done no wrong and never spoken an evil word. Matthew 27, verse 57, now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked him for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And finally, number 22, the Messiah will not see decay, but will be resurrected. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh Also a rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That was fulfilled. In Acts chapter 2, verse 25, Peter was preaching, and he said, for David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope. He said, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. It says, nor his soul was not left in Hades, and his flesh has not seen corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades. Isn't that? Nor did his flesh see corruption. Gosh. Do you know there's over 300 references and prophecies about Jesus written hundreds of years ago, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them? Come on, give him praise today. I don't know if you find that interesting. Maybe you don't. I find it fascinating. Because when you talk to someone, man, this is real. Now listen to this. Do you know that there are more prophecies about Jesus' second return than there are about his first coming to the earth? Do you know that there are 8 times as many prophecies about Jesus coming back than there were about his coming to the earth for the first time? Do you know that there are 1,845 biblical references to the second coming of Jesus Christ? 17 books in the Old Testament mention Jesus' return. 23 out of 27 books in the New Testament refer to Jesus' return. 1 in every 30 verses in the entire New Testament tell us Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He told us it 8 times as many times it's been prophesied. Jesus coming back. He is coming back, family. So Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday at exactly the right time when the Passover observance was beginning and the lambs were being chosen for them to celebrate this Passover. Now, this is critical to understand because everything about Jesus coming to town parallels what the people were doing at the time, right down to the moment that the Passover lambs were being slain in the temple. It was exactly the moment that Jesus cried out, "It is finished," bowed his head and died. Everything Jesus did in his final week parallels what the scripture said was to happen at the Passover. It's just so amazing to me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Do you know that Jesus is called our Passover lamb? It's not a coincidence that Jesus was sacrificed during Passover. Jesus told the disciples in Luke 22, verse 7, on the day of the sacrifice of the Passover lambs was to take place, Jesus sent for Peter and John and instructed them, go and prepare for Passover, the Passover supper, so we can eat it together. And they asked him, where do you want us to make the preparations to eat the meal? And Jesus gave them the sign, when you enter the city, you will find a man carrying a jug of water. Follow him home and say to the owner of the house, the teacher has told us to ask you, where is the room that I may use to have the Passover meal with my disciples? He will then take you to a large, fully furnished room upstairs. Make the preparations for us there. So they're getting ready for Passover. Now, what is Passover? Passover is the first time Passover was ever celebrated was when God delivered the Israelites from slavery and bondage in Egypt. Remember, God sent Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. But Pharaoh refused, so God brought 10 plagues upon Egypt. And the final one was the death of all the firstborn. God wanted to deliver his people from Egypt. But Jesus hadn't come to the earth yet, so what did God do? God gave them a shadow. He gave them a type of Jesus. And the shadow and the type was enough to deliver them from Egypt. In Colossians 2, verse 17, listen to this. It says, these things are only a shadow of what was to come, but Christ is the real. The Old Testament things that they did was a shadow of what would come. Jesus is the real. In Hebrews 10, verse 1, it says, the law of Moses is like a shadow of the good things to come. The shadow isn't the good things themselves because it cannot free people from sin by the sacrifices that are offered year after year. You see, I want us to look for a moment at the shadow that God gave them. He gave the Israelites for Passover. And we're going to see today how Jesus fulfilled. This was all a type and a shadow of what Jesus would do. In Exodus chapter 12 is when they first celebrated Passover. And we're getting ready. Next weekend, what we call Easter, Jewish people are celebrating Passover because it happened at the same time. They're still waiting for Messiah. They're still waiting. He already came 2,000 years ago. What more proof do you need than 300 prophecies that he fulfilled? It is impossible to do. What more proof do you need than that? Let me tell you, the reason is because Jewish people are lied to. I talked to this man. He told me, well, you know, Jesus wasn't the only one who could walk on water. All the rabbis could. I said, you've been lied to, my friend. The rabbis could not walk on water. If they could, they wouldn't have got so mad at the miracles Jesus did. Exodus chapter 2. Let's look at it. Verse 2. This is the first Passover. Exodus 2, verse 2. I don't. Exodus 12, verse 2. That's what I meant. This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of a new year to you. Passover started a new calendar. Do you know that Jewish people have two calendars? They have a secular calendar and they have a religious calendar. The first month of their religious calendar is called Nisan. Why did God tell them there's going to be a brand new month, starting a new year? Because Jesus started a brand new calendar. What year are we in now? 2023, which is 2023 years since the birth of Christ. Jesus, why did we start a new calendar when Jesus was born? The entire world operates on that calendar. Secondly, the Passover lamb had to be kept for 4 days before they sacrificed it. It had to be inspected. In Exodus 12, verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel and say, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take from himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you may take it from your sheep or from your goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Is this a shadow of something Jesus fulfilled? Yes, Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the 10th day of Nisan, and he was crucified on the 14th day on Thursday. Now I know we celebrate Friday as the day Jesus was crucified, but he actually was not crucified on Friday, and I'll tell you how I know that, because he spent 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And if he was crucified Friday, and we know he rose on Sunday, that's only 2 days. Jesus was crucified on Thursday because the Jewish leaders did not want Jesus on the cross on the day of Passover. So they did it before to get rid of him. And Jesus died on Thursday, the 14th day of Nisan. During those 4 days that Jesus entered Jerusalem on the Sunday, Palm Sunday, and the next 4 days, he's examined by Herod, by Ananias, by Caiaphas the high priest, and by Pontius Pilate, who said, I find no fault in this man. You see, Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take the sins of the world, and he was without blemish, and he was without fault, and he was without sin. John the Baptist in John 1:29, when he saw Jesus coming to be baptized, he cried out, look, there he is, God's Lamb. He will take away the sins of the world. Oh, Jesus came to take away the sins of the whole world. In Revelation 13, verse 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know that Jesus, the Bible calls him the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? Because when God created the world, he knew what would happen. He knew Adam would sin, and he already had a salvation plan in place before it took place. Jesus agreed to come to the earth and be the Lamb who takes our sin before he even created the world. Man, when you think about the lengths that God has gone to redeem you and me. Back to Exodus 12, verse 6. Then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it, the lamb, in the evening when it's dark. You see, Passover had to be eaten in darkness. Why? Because it had to be a type, an exact shadow of what the true lamb, Jesus, would do. And when Jesus was crucified, what happened? It went dark from 12 in the afternoon to 3 o'clock. It went completely dark. That's why God told them, you've got to eat the Passover lamb. He told the Israelites, you've got to do it in darkness. Because it's a type and it's a shadow of when Jesus was crucified. It became dark. Amen? Amen. Matthew 27, 46, we read it earlier. There was darkness from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. Back to Exodus 12, verse 7. It says, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. And then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it in water, but roast it in fire, its head and its legs and its entrails. They had to roast the lamb in fire. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. Now, the Passover lamb had to be roasted in fire. Why? Is that a type and a shadow of something Jesus did? Yes, the Passover lamb is a type and a shadow of the suffering that Jesus went through to redeem you and to redeem me. And when Peter preached about Jesus' death and resurrection, well, I read it earlier. It said in Acts 2:27, he said, you will not leave my soul in hell or let the body of your Holy One, your Holy Son, see decay. Now, Peter is quoting King David. He's quoting Psalm 16. And Peter explains what David was talking about. In verse 31, he says, David was looking far into the future and predicting the Messiah's resurrection and saying the Messiah's soul would not be left in hell and his body would not decay. Do you know that Jesus went to hell for you and me? Now, the first time I preached this about, gosh, 30, 40 years ago, I had so much heat come on me for preaching that Jesus went to hell. But it is so obvious. You see, Jesus took our sin. He became our sin. He was separated from the Father. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And because of our sin, Jesus had to go into hell where we are supposed to go. That's what we deserve. But he went in our place. Where do you think Jesus was for 3 days and three nights? There's only two places when you die. There's two options. There's heaven and there's hell. That's it. There's no other. There's no limbo, purgatory. There's none of that. There's heaven and hell. So if Jesus didn't go to heaven, he went to hell for 3 days and for 3 nights. But thank God he didn't stay there. Thank God he rose from the dead. Thank God he is alive. And that's why God said you've got to roast the lamb, the Passover lamb. You've got to roast it in fire. Because it's a type of what Jesus would do. And Jesus went to hell in our place so that we don't have to go. Jesus himself confirmed this. His own words, Matthew 12, verse 40, he said, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Jesus told us where he was. I know it's hard for the human mind to comprehend that God himself went to hell in our place. That's why the salvation is even greater than the creation of the world. God sent his Son, who is also God, to hell in our place. So don't anyone tell me, how could a loving God send people to hell? God loved you so much that he sent his Son, who is also God, to hell in your place. God didn't send anyone to hell. He's given you the way out. He's gone to these lengths to save us, to redeem us. We have to believe. We have to choose. Amen. There's 49 scriptures in the Bible that tell us that hell is in the center of the earth. I talk to people, they're like, I'm amazed. I talk to people like, I don't believe there's a hell. One lady, I invited her to church. She's like, yeah, I'm going to come. She was all excited. I'm going to come to church. Then she asked me, do you believe in hell? Kind of a random question. I said, well, the Bible teaches about hell, so yes, I believe the Bible, so I believe in hell. She never came to church. Listen, the reason I tell you the truth, I don't want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. But you got to know there is a hell to shun and there is a heaven to gain, and the choice is up to you. Amen. The Passover lamb had to be roasted in fire because it was a type of the true lamb. I'm almost done here. Are you getting something out of this? In Exodus 12, verse 11, "And thus you shall eat the Passover lamb with a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover." Now, God told them to eat the Passover in their traveling clothes. They hadn't dressed this way in 400 years. What is that a type of? Well, when Israel had the lamb, the Passover lamb inside of them, they had to be ready to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The Exodus 13, 21 says, "The Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night." So they knew they could travel either by day or by night. Do you know the moment you receive the true lamb, the moment you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you got to be ready to follow and be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are children of God." You got to be ready to follow God's will for your life, to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me carry on with Exodus chapter 12. In verse 12, it says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." The blood, when the angel of death came, when he saw the blood, he passed over. They put the blood. Let me tell you, family, judgment passed over onto the lamb. That's what Jesus has done for us. You see, when you receive Jesus into your life, you are washed by the blood of Jesus. And that's why judgment has passed over us. It passed over onto Jesus. He became the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Move on for me. Thanks. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In him we have redemption. That is our deliverance and our salvation through his blood. Say, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Through his blood. Through his blood. That's what I'm going to preach on Friday. The power of the blood of Jesus. I want to preach about the power of the blood. I've never preached on the power of the blood of Jesus. I'm going to preach on the power of the blood of Jesus. It said, through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace. Let me tell you, the truth of Palm Sunday is very clear. Jesus repeated it over and over in his earthly ministry. He said, I am the one who came to sacrifice myself for you. And if you don't respond to me as your sin bearer, if you reject me, you will die in your sins and you'll have to face me as your judge instead of your Savior. You see, I want to face Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to face him as my judge. How about you? Number six, the Passover lamb couldn't have any broken bones. Exodus 12, 46, do not break any of its bones. Why is that? I mean, they must have sacrificed thousands and thousands of lambs. Can you imagine not breaking a single bone? Why did God insist, don't break any bones? Because it was a type and a shadow of what Jesus would do. And the Bible says in John, when the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two thieves crucified with Jesus, when they came to Jesus, they saw he was already dead. And they didn't break his legs. Not a bone was broken. That's why it had to be an exact type. They couldn't break any bones of the Passover lamb because it was a type and shadow of what Jesus would do to deliver us. Amen. In his final week, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. The Gospel of John contains some things that the other Gospels don't contain about Jesus' final week. Jesus predicts his death on the cross. The disciples don't get it. They didn't get it until only afterwards. He teaches them about servanthood. He washes their feet. He teaches them about the commandment of love. He tells them to prepare. I'm going to prepare a place for you. He tells them, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He tells them, man, I'll pray the Father. He's going to give you another helper. He's going to abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He says, when the helpers come, whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things. He'll bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. He tells them, the Holy Spirit, man, he's going to guide you. He's going to tell you things to come. He tells them in John 16, 7, it's to your advantage. It's better for you that I go away and that the helper come. Amen. Thanks, Miguel. Take it to the end. I'm gonna cut it off here because I over-prepared. I keep going, man. I can go here a long time. But we're going to cut it off right now because we're going to pick it up on Friday. We're going to talk about the power of the blood of Jesus. Then next Sunday, we're going to talk about his resurrection. And I want to talk about what the resurrection means to you and me. Because a lot of people know about Jesus' death and resurrection, but I don't think they understand what it really means for you and me today. But as we go, I want to just say this to you. You know, Jesus said in Matthew, if you think about all the lengths that God has gone to and the price that he's paid and all that he's planned, all the plans involved in fulfilling our redemption, man, we cannot keep silent about this. Jesus said in Matthew 28, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he said to them, all authority, the authority of all the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all the nations. Go and make disciples. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news. Preach the wonderful news. Mark chapter 16, preach the wonderful good news of the gospel. We got to tell everyone this good news, man. That we got to tell who Jesus is and what he's done. And he paid an amazing, awesome price. Jesus is counting on us, family, to tell people the great gospel story. Everybody you know needs to be saved. This isn't a game, man. It's life and death. It's heaven or hell. Don't give up on your family or your friends. They may be resistant, man. So what? Ask them again. Invite them again. Do you love them? Don't let them go to hell. Tell them again. Invite them next Sunday. We got Easter weekend. Invite them to come next Sunday. Let's focus on what really matters to God. The price that He's paid. Souls are what matter to Him. Don't just hang out with your Christian friends, man. Go after lost people. Befriend lost people. Jesus told us to go into the world. Let's get up and go. Let's be bold. We got the answer. Let's share it. Let's invite people to come next weekend to our Easter services. I believe that they will be saved, that they will receive Jesus in their life. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Just bow your head for a moment. I want to pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for our salvation. We thank You, Lord, that You loved us so much, that You planned our salvation, Lord, before the foundation of the earth. And Lord, we're just so thankful that you care about us. Like David said, what is man that You care about him so much, Lord? Why are we so important to You? But we're so thankful that we are. We're so thankful, Lord, that You care so much about us. We're so thankful, Jesus, for the price that You paid, for the laying Your life down. We just thank You, Lord. Listen, if you're here this morning and if you've never received Jesus in your life, today is the day for you to do that. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, you can, but good news is you can know. You can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every sin, every mistake you ever made in your life, it's forgiven, it's washed away. You can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There is a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that everything is well between me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. Listen, if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, if you're not sure what would happen to you if you died today, you can be sure. You can walk out of here this morning. You can know that all is well between you and God. You can know that you have all is well with my soul. You can know that heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me. I want to make sure that I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to know that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to receive Jesus in my life. If that's you, I want you quickly, just lift your hand up high. Just wave your hand up high while eyes are closed. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised up, you're included in this prayer this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, look up at me for a moment, everybody. Praise God. I just want to say before we go home today that, hand my Bible, we've got a couple of things I need to mention to you real fast, and that is that on Friday we have our Good Friday service, and it's at 7 p.m. It's going to be 1 hour. I'm going to talk, we're going to have childcare, and I'm going to talk about the power of the blood. And then next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. When you came in today, you were given some of these cards. I asked them to give you each 5. I'm going to ask you to invite. Use every one of them. Invite 5 people to come to Easter next weekend. What do you say? Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Say yes, I'm definitely going to bring someone next Sunday. I'm definitely bringing someone next Friday. Amen. I want to mention next Sunday morning, we're having water baptism directly after service. What a great day to have water baptism than on Resurrection Sunday. If you want to get baptized in water, we've got a number of people being baptized. Please make sure you fill out this baptism card. The ushers should have them. There should be some in the lobby. If you need to get one, Ostemony, and you need to fill this card out because we want to have your water baptism certificate ready for you to remember the day. So if you'll fill that card out, we'll put you on the water baptism list. Also, want to mention that we're going to be starting our Christian Growth Seminar. It's a very exciting Bible, a four-night Bible study course that I teach, and I highly recommend you to come and attend it. We do it one night a week for 4 weeks. It runs over a month, and I'm just waiting to have enough people to start it. So if you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, you really need to do it. Fill out this green card, says Grow, and as soon as we have a date, we'll let you know. So register for that right now. It's free of charge. And then also, right after Easter, we're gonna restart our Connect groups. And when you came in today, I think you were given a white card that says Connect. I would encourage you to be part of a Connect group. We have Connect group in Stewart. We have Connect group in West Palm Beach. We have Connect group in Jupiter. Wherever you may live, this is a place where you come and connect with other people in our church during the week. And we get together in people's homes and we just encourage one another. And it's just, you make lifelong friends in Connect groups. So I want to encourage you, man, you need to be part of a Connect group. Fill out that card and hand it back so we can ask the Connect group leader to contact you and give you their details and address. And then, Abel, get ready for me to jump up here. Also, I want to just tell you that Thursday night at prayer, what an amazing time of prayer we had on Thursday night. Oh my gosh, it's just getting better and better. We had the most people we've ever had on Thursday. And we prayed for Demony's daughter in that wheelchair. In the name of Jesus, we believe in God for her total healing and restoration. We had a fantastic time here on Thursday at prayer. I want to really encourage you, man, because it's not just we pray, but it's you experience the presence of God. There was such a presence of the Lord there on Thursday night. So join us. And then, Abel, you've got something to tell us what's happening at Ascend Youth.
Yes. So we got two events. Michelle's going to be joining us here. The first one is we have a big event in the summer for the youth. It's called the Fire Conference. And I was praying about events for this year, and I heard the word youth fire. And then I Googled it, and there's, I believe the Holy Spirit was leading me, because there's a Rodney Howard Brown's church in Tampa. It's called The River, and they're having a youth conference. It's for 13 to 18-year-olds. And it's going to be free, which is also the bonus. And most of all his events at the River Church are free. So it's July 19th through the 22nd. It's going to be a Wednesday. We'll probably leave in the afternoon and hit the evening session. And there's going to be a morning and a afternoon and the evening on the Thursday and then Friday. And then we'll drive home on Saturday. So there's going to be a cost associated with it just because there's the transportation, the lodging, the hotels, and the food. So we'll give you those details as they come. So if you're interested, if you know middle school, high schoolers that should be going to this, let us know and give us a final head count or confirmation, because that's going to help lock in the price for everyone. And then we have another event that Michelle's going to share about.
All right, so this is another one with fire. Like, we love that. No, just kidding. Not kidding. All right, so we are going to do our first bonfire event, and this is not just for the youth. We want parents to come too, siblings also, especially if they're youth age. And if you haven't been at youth yet, we want to see you. This is going to be a super fun night of fellowship, worship, a great teaching, a fire word, if I may say. And then it is $5 a person. So we are covering costs of the campsite and some other things. If you want to donate to the event so we can like have materials donated instead of us purchasing everything, see with one of us and we'll tell you what we need. Moises, where are you at? Where are you at? He is also one of the leaders. So you can ask him about what we need for that event. And parents are invited too. Please come.
Praise the Lord. I really encourage you to take to send your kids to that fire conference, man. It's so good for them. To get them on fire for the Lord, I mean, it's so worth investing in them, to pay for the hotel, to have them come back on fire for Jesus. Do you know, I sent my kids. Now, my kids were raised in my house, and we read the Bible to them. We prayed. We brought them to church every Sunday. But when we sent our kids to VU conference down in Miami, not many years ago, it changed their life. They got all on fire. And I was like, I've been telling you that for years. But they went somewhere else and they got all in fire. I can't tell you, it's so worth the investment of sending your kids to go to the fire conference with Rodney Howe Brown. It's going to be awesome. Are you glad you came to church today? Yeah. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tell them that, don't forget, next week, invite five people. I want to ask you if you'd help us today. Would you mind taking the palm branches out with you? And we'll put them on Jerry's truck. He brought them for us. Thank you, Jerry, for doing that. But I don't want to carry 50 palm branches. Help me, please. Take them with you. We'll see you next Sunday. See you Friday night. See you for the Good Friday service. Have a great week. Everyone, we'll see you Friday. Praise the Lord.